Morning, church family. The devotion we're going to be doing this morning, I've entitled The Reward for Obedience. And the scripture portion is Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. The key words of this morning's devotion are in Psalm 19, verse 11, where David talks about the reader keeping the Lord's statutes and precepts when he states that in keeping them, there is great reward. In this simple statement, the psalmist tells us that there is a reward for obedience. Some of God's children are disobedient. In fact, we all are at times if we're honest with ourselves. But when we obey him, the Lord promises us a great reward. This reference is not primarily to future rewards which we shall receive at the judgment seat of Christ, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. But this refers to rewards we receive here and now. One day we, as believers in Jesus Christ, must all appear before the Lord to be rewarded or to suffer loss according to the way we have lived and labored for him. But Psalm 19 is speaking of a reward for obedience, which is to be received and enjoyed here and now. Notice the words in and is. That means that in the actual process of doing God's will and keeping his commandments, there is a great reward. Before we think about the rewards that God promises and gives for obedience, let's look at verses 7 to 11, where we are told seven things about the commandments of the Lord, which are contained in his word, and which we are to keep. Firstly, they are powerful, reviving the soul. Verse 7, the word of God is the instrument he uses to turn men and women from darkness to light, from Satan to himself. And what a powerful instrument it is, as the writer of Hebrews 4, verse 12 confirms. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Then they are plain, making wise the simple, verse 7. The commands of the Lord are so clear and plain that the wicked fools need not be in any doubt about them. We don't need to be an expert theologian to understand the scriptures. Even young children in Sunday school are able to do so. In Isaiah 35 verse 8, the writer describes the joy of the redeemed as he likens the word of God to a pathway. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness, and it will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. They are also pleasing, giving joy to the heart, verse 8. We are sometimes tempted to think that God's will is hard, hard to discern and hard to follow. But on the contrary, John in his first epistle, chapter 5 and verse 3, confirms that this is love for God, to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. The greatest joy we can experience is when we know that we are operating in the center of God's will for our lives. God's decrees are pure. The commandment of the Lord is pure, verse 8. Absolutely pure, with no mixture or taint of evil. God's commands are holy. They are a reflection of himself. They are given by a holy God who gave his son to redeem us and are meant for our good as we follow them through. They are furthermore permanent, enduring forever, as we read in verse 9. They are never out of date. They are appropriate and applicable for every age and circumstance and are never in need of revision. We might have revised versions of certain Bible translations, but never do we need revised versions of the commands themselves. Matthew 5 verse 7 confirms that God's word is timeless, as Jesus states, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." The law and the prophets are as applicable to our lives in 2020 as they were when they were first penned by their respective writers all those centuries ago. Then they are precious. More precious than gold and sweeter than honey, as we read in verse 10. To the true believer, Jesus is precious. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, as 1 Peter verse 2, chapter 2, verse 7 confirms. His blood is precious, as it's the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our sacrificial lamb, without blemish or defect. And so is his word. He has given us his very great and precious promises. so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's according to 2 Peter 1 verse 4. Finally, they are preventive. By them is your servant warned, verse 10. The adage, prevention is better than cure, certainly is true. And God seeks to prevent us from sinning and grieving his Holy Spirit by giving us his commandments. How wonderful his commandments are. How right the psalmist is to speak of them as being perfect in verse 7. And so what are the rewards promised to the man or woman who will keep his commandments? The first is the promise of long life. Can obedience affect one's length of days? As a general principle, if we seek to live in the will of God and obey his laws, then our days will be lengthened. But if we break his laws by living careless, intemperate, self-led lives, then our days may well be shortened. In Deuteronomy 32 verse 47, God confirms that his words are not just idle words, they are your life. By them you will live long in the land. The second promise is that of protection. There's a wonderful promise in the Ecclesiastes 8 verse 5 which states, whoever obeys his commands will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. Does this mean that nothing will go wrong if we obey God? No, but it does mean that Romans 8 verse 28 will be fulfilled in our life experiences. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Sorrow, trials, and testings will come, but as they come from him, they will never be evil, but will always end up for our good. In Deuteronomy 23 verse 5, we read that the Lord turned Balaam's curse into a blessing, and for the simple reason that the Lord your God loves you. Gladness is the third promise given in keeping the Lord's decrees. The most joyful people in the world are those who constantly seek to keep God's commandments and please him. In 1 Chronicles 16 verse 27, the writer states that splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Obey God and you will discover the secret of abiding joy. Happiness is fleeting, but joy in the Lord is permanent no matter our circumstances. Fourthly, we will have great peace. Yes, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. As the writer in Psalm 119 verse 165 states, what a priceless reward this is, to enjoy great peace even in this world of trouble, fear, civil disobedience, and dare we add, COVID-19. This notion is confirmed in Isaiah 26 verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Number five is the assurance of salvation. Many Christians lack the assurance of their salvation. But God wants us to know that we are eternally secure in Christ our Savior. Again in John's first epistle, chapter 3, verse 24, we read that the one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So then, keep his commandments and you will experience the assurance of salvation. Answers to prayer is the sixth promise given us. There's a wonderful promise in 1 John 3, verse 22 and 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. Here we also discover why some of our prayers are not answered. If we seek to obey God, our petitions will be according to his will, and he then promises to answer our prayers. What a reward that is. The seventh and final promise is the conscious presence of Christ. In John 14, verse 21, John writes that whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Notice that the emphasis is upon the word show. The Lord is always with us, but we are only made really conscious of his presence when we are obeying him. So then, in closing, what does it mean to keep God's commandments? Firstly, it means seeking them. We cannot know them until we find them. We can only find them by seeking them. We are to follow David's example as he charged his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28 verse 8, to be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever. It means seeking them all. If you read 1 Chronicles 28 verse 8 again, we see that this is a lifelong occupation as we practice and pass the commands down to our following generations. That means obeying them. Not only finding them, but doing them. We don't need any reminding of James' injunction to us in James chapter 1 verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. We can't be selective about the Lord's decrees and only obey the ones that suit us or are easy to follow or don't cost us anything to follow. All are given for our edification and sanctification and need to be obeyed. It means obeying them promptly, as the psalmist did in Psalm 119 verse 60. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. All too often our procrastination in obeying leads to vacillation, forgetfulness, and eventually disobedience. Finally, it means delighting in obeying God, as the psalmist discovered in Psalm 112 verse 1. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Let's pray together. Lord, in closing this morning, we would echo the words of Moses as he wrote in Deuteronomy 5 verse 29. Oh, that our hearts would be inclined to fear you and keep all your commands always, so that it might go well with us and our children forever. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your word. Help us to be doers of the word and not mere hearers. In everything that we do, Lord, may you take your glory. This we pray in Jesus' name, both with thanksgiving and with praise. Amen. Thank you.